Welcome, everyone. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live this Memorial Day weekend from Washington, D.C., being let in with the theme song from Independence Day, but it's Memorial Day. We will be discussing a lot of things tonight, and the toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Perhaps if you listen closely, outside my window, we're getting our annual noise pollution event. It's the annual Rolling Thunder. This thing has been going on since I've lived here, and that's been since 1982 here in Washington, D.C. But whatever the original idea was is one thing, but what has really happened for the last 8 years, this Rolling Thunder. These are these people that come in, hundreds of thousands of motorcycles with no mufflers. I mean, they make the loudest noise. I think these individuals forget people live in Washington. I'm right next to Interstate 66, which is the main highway where these people are coming in from the west into the District of Columbia all night long. These motorcycles, it's just a low droning sound. Sometimes, you know, you hear a really loud one. It's irritating, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. This has been used, of course, by the Bush administration to hype up his war policies. But, and speaking of Bush, we've had in the last week this debate between Dick Cheney, the five draft deferments in Vietnam. I haven't seen him on a motorcycle here recently over the last few days. Anyway, Mr. Five Draft Deferments now claiming that torture works, defending all the Bush policies in a speech most recently at the American Enterprise Institute, that bastion of neoconservatives, Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz and the rest of these gangsters and war criminals that shouldn't be sitting at AEI. They ought to be sitting at the ICC, the International Criminal Court in The Hague. But we'll talk about Mr. Cheney as well. And we'll also talk about what's happening in the United Kingdom right now. The Summer of Rage looks like it's taking place in London and is directed against the British Parliament, the House of Commons, where there are now criminal investigations being launched against many members. There have been a few resignations, this Summer of Rage, it was predicted in Britain. Looks like it's taking course, but not in the streets, but on the floor of the House of Commons. And people have just, I think, had it. I think here in this country, we're hearing all the debate, Pelosi, who lied, did she lie, CIA, blah, blah, blah. What's happening in Britain is they're just getting rid of these members of parliament. Perhaps we should be thinking about doing the same thing here, just having these people just hauled out, have them resign, have them go to prison, whatever it takes. But I think what's happening in London right now is something that we should be looking at emulating here. Against the criminals in both parties that we have in our current Senate and House of Representatives. And we'll talk about what has been happening in Britain, which is, in one case, it was a truly historic event. The Speaker of the House of Commons resigned. And when you hear later when that last happened, you'll be a little bit amazed, and you'll understand that what is happening over there is having real historical, potentially historical significance. Anyway, we will be right back with more comments, news, and your phone calls right after this short break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup. live tonight from Washington, D.C., Memorial Day weekend here in the nation's capital. And before the break, I was mentioning this annual nuisance now is what it is, this rolling thunder, these people coming into Washington making a noise all night long, I might add, living next to one of the major arteries here in Washington where these people are coming in from the west. It's a nuisance. We don't want them here. The people, the residents of Washington, the people that run the bars, the biker bars like them, they spend money. But those of us who live here and stay here for Memorial Day, this is getting a bit outrageous. They call it a rolling thunder, and let's think about what that is named after. That is attacks in Vietnam and Laos called arc lights. These were arc lights attacked by these B-52s that dropped these huge, huge bombs on a carpet bombing, basically. Carpet bombing North Vietnam and Laos. The sound of the B-52s coming over Laos and North Vietnam, it was called Rolling Thunder. Now, many innocent civilians were killed in that indiscriminate bombing in Laos and North Vietnam. And the situation in Laos today is horrible because some of this ordnance is still being found. Some of these bombs never exploded thanks to probably low bidders on military contracts selling, ineffective weapons. But that's what Rolling Thunder is. And these folks that come in on these Harleys every year, most of them are Harleys, are celebrating this. And let's listen to how George Bush. Oh, I might add, in the past 8 years, they were always welcomed into the White House, at least the leadership. Let's listen to this clip from George Bush last year inviting the head of Rolling Thunder into the White House. And you tell me where these people are politically. Another reason we don't need them here during the Obama administration. We can play this clip.
President Bush is meeting with some of the folks in Rolling Thunder. These are the folks that took to their motorcycles here on the nation's mall. Some 350,000 is the estimate. Some of them rolling into the White House here. Let's take a listen if we could.
No Rolling Thunder. Rolling Thunder is a moment in time here in Washington on Memorial Day weekend when thousands of motorcyclers come to the nation's capital to pay tribute to those who have died in service, those who sacrificed, and those who serve. And it's a magnificent sight. We just choppered in, Artie, and saw your brothers and sisters cranking up their machines and driving through the nation's capital. Many of them have got the flag on the back. And I am just so honored to welcome you back. I want to thank you and all your comrades for being so patriotic and loving our country as much as you do. And I don't know if this is the eighth time we've been together here, but pretty close.
Pretty close. Sir.
Okay. One more. Okay. Well, there you heard it. George Bush saying it's a moment in time. It's a moment in noise pollution. It's a moment every year in nuisance. I would hope that the Pentagon would stop facilitating this, allowing these people to gather in the on U.S. government property at the Pentagon. And as far as Bush saying, you know, it's a tribute to what? The carpet bombing of North Vietnam and Laos, the killing of hundreds of thousands of civilians, villagers, an indiscriminate bombing of jungle. George Bush, we know, is a sociopathic war criminal, and of course he would just get very excited about that kind of mass death, as he did about his own mass death that he lorded over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Look, the wars are different. The sociopaths who were in the White House are the same. At least Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, eventually became very morose over what he did. He had real pangs of conscience towards the end. He knew what the Vietnam War had done to the country, and he eventually died of a heart attack at a very young age. But George Bush doesn't have any sort of conscience about what he's done and what happened in Vietnam. Of course, we know what he did during Vietnam. He got into a champagne unit, never showed up for duty. And Mr. Cheney, who now is this military expert who claims that, of course, he claims that torture works. He got all kinds of useful information from torturing these detainees. Mr. Cheney is just, five draft deferments. Now he's a military expert. He wouldn't know anything about the military. He's one of these people here in Washington, D.C., who, want to claim that they have all this military expertise and they love the military. He never served one day. He could have. But he thought it was more important to avoid the draft and run for political office. And that's exactly what he did. Anyway, if you'd like to talk about Cheney, and we'll listen to what he had to say at the American Enterprise Institute, the citadel of neoconservatism in the nation's capital, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Well, also, as I said, I mentioned we'll talk about the what's happening in the United Kingdom, and we also still have the problem with the AH1N1 flu pandemic. It has spread to more countries. This past week saw the first case in Moscow in Russia. It's spread to Thailand, the Philippines. I believe that the World Health Organization, when they initially thought this was the synthetic flu, we talked about that last week on the program. The synthetic flu, it could have we may have some real problems for the future here, because this flu may mutate, and all the vaccines and all the drugs like Tamiflu that are being stockpiled and created right now could be very much ineffective against what's coming. Potentially down the pike. So that is nothing to rest easy over. Even though that Mexico and Japan are loosening some of the restrictions, we now have 10 reported deaths here in the United States, and a number now being reported from Mexico, that's going to increase when this thing hits India in full force. It's already in India and Africa, where there is very poor health services. We're going to see, I believe, this death count increase, and I don't think the International Health Authority should be resting any easier just because the media has tended now to say, oh, the worst is over. The worst may be yet to come on that. So there's a lot more we're going to be hearing about. H1N1, this synthetic flu that was like Jurassic Park dinosaurs brought from extinction from the corpse of a dead Eskimo woman who died of the 1918 Spanish flu in Alaska and brought back to life. Now, is that legitimate research, or do we have a bunch of Dr. Frankensteins running around, mad scientists, doing things that absolutely have little or no scientific value, but really could create quite a bad situation in this country and around the world. And we can certainly talk about the latest on H1N1, the hybrid, or as the Centers for Disease Control are now referring to it, a new flu that they have not seen before, and the way its components and the way it's being spread, the speed and the targets, in most cases, it's middle-aged people, although some infants have died. It seems like older people may have some sort of immunity built against this, and that would be sort of understood if you realize, of course, that this is the 1918 flu that has been resurrected. Some older people then may have a natural resistance built up, natural immunity, because they were born in the years after, shortly after that flu had killed millions of people around the world. Anyway, again, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. maybe we can listen to what Mr. Cheney had to say at the American Enterprise Institute. He was talking about the Obama administration and secrecy. I mean, isn't this rich? Dick Cheney talking about secrecy. He tried to get some documents released, declassified from the National Archives. I'd like to know why Dick Cheney's allowed to go to the National Archives and even reclassified information. He's no longer the vice president. I go to the National Archives. I'm not allowed to read that stuff. Neither should see. But let's listen to what Mr. Cheney had to say.
Some members of Congress are notorious for demanding they be briefed into the most sensitive intelligence programs. They support them in private and then head for the hills at the first sign of controversy. As far as the interrogations are concerned, all that remains an official secret is the information that we gained as a result. Some of his defenders say the unseen memos are inconclusive, which only raises the question why they won't let the American people decide that for themselves. I saw that information as vice president, and I reviewed some of it again recently at the National Archives. I formally ask that it be declassified so the American people can see the intelligence we obtained.
Well, there you go. There you go. Mr. Cheney got to see classified information. Hopefully he didn't do like Sandy Berger and hide his underwear on his way out of the archives. Anyway, we will be right back after this short break. This is Wayne Madison from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Madison with the Wayne Madison Report. We're coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. on this Memorial Day weekend when we honor the service people who have given so much for our country in just wars and, of course, in wars that were unjust. And, of course, the most recent is the current war. It's still going on. We tend not to remember that we still have troops in Iraq. Unfortunately, this past week, several were killed in roadside bombs. His surge, the Petraeus surge, we still have our troops being killed in Iraq due to this surge. The number of troops have not, that troop level has not come down all that much in Iraq. And where was Petraeus this last week? He was at the Bilderberg meeting in Greece. Very, God only knows what these people were discussing over there. But I can't believe that anything that was on the table on the agenda at the Bilderberg conference was anything we would be happy about, whether it's the economy or how they're going to deal with pandemics or, you know, continued wars, profits for defense contractors, and so forth and so on. I mentioned how the rage, what we all predicted was going to be the summer rage in Britain, the odd way it's being played out. There's a huge scandal uncovered first by the Daily Telegraph in London. Members of Parliament have been using their expense accounts for frivolous things, including flipping real estate. Now, that goes on right here in the Congress, and if that is reason enough to demand people resign and come under investigation. We know it happened with Duke Cunningham, the Dukester, and his home he flipped with a lobbyist in San Diego. It happens right here in Washington with these members that are flipping real estate, not from their salaries and expenses at accounts in Congress, but from their friends in the lobbying community. But this past week, the Speaker of the House of Commons, Michael Martin, resigned because he himself had padded his expense account for frivolous purposes. He is the first Speaker of the House of Commons to be forced out since 1625. And to put that in perspective, William of Orange was King of England in 1625. So that puts it in perspective. What's happening in England, the rage is taking place against these crooked, and they're in all parties, but mostly this is the Labour Party of phony Tony Blair and now Gordon Brown, who bears an amazing resemblance. He's a bit of a heavier version of Mr. Bean, the wacky British comedy character. Mr. Brown is not going to be laughing because that's a very serious thing. We're going to probably see quite a few members of Parliament in the House of Commons anyway going to prison very shortly. Several resignations so far. Anyway, let's go to the phones. We have Deborah calling in from Baltimore. Deborah, are you with us?
Hey, Wayne. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. If you can hold on.
Your legal troubles are behind you.
Oh, well, thank you. I was going to get to that towards the end of the program, but if you could just hold on, I want to play this this clip of what's happening in Britain right now and how this rage, because I know you've got a congressional campaign.
Right. And, I wish it would happen here.
Yeah. And let's listen to this short clip. Listen to it with me of what's happening in Britain right now with the House of Commons and these members, one after another, coming under investigation, if we can play this clip.
Our correspondent in London, Benedict Pavio, reports on how Martin's resignation would likely affect Brown's government.
The problem here for the Gordon Brown's government, the problem here for the standing, the reputation of British Parliament, said throughout the world to be the mother of all parliaments, an example to other democracies, to other parliaments around the world, is the anger, the real anger that is being manifested day after day after the big campaign led by the Daily Telegraph. The paper has now its day 13 of its revelations about the expenses, the excessive expenses of MPs charging, normally they should charge for things that relate particularly to their job, like their second home, obviously either a rent or a mortgage or possibly their food, instead of which we've had not only that, but plasma TV screens worth £2,000 to £8,000, swimming pools, tennis courts, moats of castles and things like that. And that at a credit crunch time, a time of recession, a time of already problems, if you want, in the nation economically, there is such an anger in the British people, and that cost might be very, very high indeed, not only for individual MPs and possible forthcoming prosecutions by police and the justice system here, but also at the European elections.
Benedict Pavio reporting.
There we have it. What's going on in London? And I think if we looked at the expenses being put out by members of the House and the Senate, we would find similar things happening right here in our own Congress.
I think far worse, yeah. Wayne, really.
Probably worse, probably much worse. They're talking about plasma, people buying plasma TVs from under expense accounts. I think here we'd find, we know about Duke Cunningham. He actually had he bought a $70,000 toilet. So,
right.
I mean, that's even expensive by Pentagon standards. But if you can hold on with us, we have a short break, Deborah. We'll be right back with you and other phone calls right after this short break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Okay, we're back live from Washington, D.C. on this Memorial Day weekend. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup. And we have Deborah on the line from Baltimore. Deborah, are you still with us?
I'm still with you, Wayne.
Okay, great.
Where do you start? Good heavens.
You've got Dick Cheney
with the National Archives saying, you know, we need to release these documents. And we still, 8 years later, have no idea what's in the Dick Cheney secret energy meeting?
Oh, right. Isn't this rich? This is the guy who was presided over the most secretive administration in our nation's history. And I include Richard Nixon's in that, which is even more astounding. And Dick Cheney is trying to tell us, well, release the information that we got out of these people who were being tortured. Well, that information is not correct.
It's bogus.
These people were telling. It's just like these four guys the FBI got in New York.
Oh,
trying
geez.
To, I mean, what a bunch of baloney that is. It's just like they did to the Fort Dix Five and the Liberty City.
Miami. Yep.
They're targeting people at the low end of the economic scale, Haitians, Muslims, you know, whatever, you know, whatever, say, oh, we'll put in some dubious FBI informants. By the way, the FBI agent who led that operation against those guys up in New York was the same guy who led the operation against this guy who was hauled off a plane at Kennedy Airport and sent to Syria to be tortured, a Canadian citizen who was innocent. Completely innocent.
And he has had no recourse for all of that.
Including from the Obama administration,
exactly.
I might add.
Exactly. So, short change in false hope.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is what Cheney wants to have released is that, you know, we tortured this guy with scorpions and tarantulas and waterboarding
and his children.
Right. He said, see, we stopped an attack against, this place and that place when all this information was bogus, dubious at best. But Mr. Cheney, Mr. Five Deferments in Vietnam, he would have us believe that he's now a top expert on military interrogations and all kinds of battlefield operations.
The only thing Cheney is good at is shooting elderly lawyers in the face, is well you put.
Exactly. And then he's got his wife Lynn. I think they must have gotten the idea of the Taming of the Shrew. From Lynn Cheney, because this woman is absolutely just a horrible individual. I mean,
you just want to kick her down a flight of stairs, Wayne.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Cheneys, what do they do? Just call up any of the bookers on any of these networks now and it can get on? I mean, it's outrageous. NBC owned by his friends in the defense industry, General Electric, and all the other infotainment operations.
Bob Graham and his connection with Washington Post.
Absolutely.
So ridiculous. I mean, it's taken on just through the looking glass proportions at this point. And anybody who still, tunes in and believes the military-industrial complex mainstream media is just, I mean, you're out of your tree.
Right. Now you have a congressional campaign underway in the district. It's the Baltimore area, who's the incumbent there right now?
Well, there are several. I mean, Barbara Mikulski.
Oh, you're going for the Senate. You're running for the Senate.
But I've got, in terms of Congress, some people that have been there a while, and they really haven't done much of anything. What's his name?
Well, Dutch Ruppersberger, it never did anything to help all the NSA whistleblowers that I dealt with over the last several years who went to his office. He's basically owned an operation. He's representing not his district. He represents the National Security Agency. This guy is I don't know why they even say he's from Maryland. Why they just say he's from Fort Meade? You know, when you put parentheses.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But I think that's true for the, you know, generally.
Oh, yeah. Nancy Pelosi, I think she's also parsing words. She was a member of the House Intelligence Committee when all this happened. They do not do oversight. Her colleague, I know that Pelosi and her colleague on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, were both approached by active duty members of the U.S. Army, and they were told about torture. They were told what was going on, and they did not care.
Mm-hmm.
They just slept.
Well, what I'm going up against basically is going to be Elijah Cummings.
Hmm. Right. Well, and he's been
on the Democratic side of that. But as far as I can tell, Elijah Cummings really hasn't done anybody, you know.
It's like
what has he done?
One former African American member of the House told me that they said you would think that our biggest enemies, the black community's biggest enemies, are some of these whites from places like Alabama and Arkansas, Tennessee. She said, not true. Our biggest enemies are those sitting right there in the Congressional Black Caucus, because they sell us out every day of the week to special
interests. Every time. And Cynthia McKinney would be the first one to jump on that, too.
Absolutely.
She would be the first one to say, absolutely.
I'm glad you said that because that's who told me that. It wasn't the
yeah. Yeah, anyway, I've had conversations with Cynthia over the years and how she was kind of railroaded and things happened to her for actually speaking out and asking the right questions. I mean, she asked the right questions about 9/11. She asked the right questions
And when she was roughed up by that cop down there, that Capitol Hill, Capitol Police policeman, she got no support. Well, I know what she went through, having had this nolle prosequi. They declined prosecution. The whole thing was a setup from the get go. But as was with her. But when that incident occurred, she got no support, little or no support from the Congressional Black Caucus in the House. And
they all turned
total outrage
on her. But pariah from a long way back when she spoke out about not just 9/11 and Dine Corps, but Israel and Israel's policies.
Right.
And
right.
That's
absolutely
what put her into the hot water in the first place. And so, from that moment on, she was going to be set up.
Oh, it was her and her colleague from Alabama, Earl Hilliard, were the two that were targeted, and they were both defeated by primary challengers. And in their place now are total worthless people, Artur Davis in Alabama and Hank Johnson in Georgia. You don't hear much from either one of them, except Artur Davis thinks he's going to become the next Democratic governor of Alabama and has really turned his hand on Don Siegelman. Turned his back on Don Siegelman
Siegelman was completely innocent of all charges.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have Artur Davis from Harvard. Who else do we know from Harvard Law School right now?
But they all turned their back on the rule of law, and what's so amazing to me is the amount of so-called lawyers in our Congress critters that have turned their backs on any kind of rule of law, what with Patriot Act 1 and 2, with the Military Commissions Act, with all of it. I mean, for all the lawyers that we have in there.
Yeah. They seem to know very little about the law and the Constitution.
Well,
anyway, Deborah, yes. Go ahead.
And including the president.
Oh, right, absolutely. Head of the Harvard Law Review, he's now compromising on issues of the bases of the Constitution. But anyway, Deborah, thanks for calling in, and thanks for your support over the last my trials and tribulations, which hope are now all behind me.
It's always a pleasure.
Okay, thank you, and have a good Memorial Day. Anyway, let's go now to David, who's been holding on from South Carolina. David, are you on the phone?
Yeah, hey, Wayne.
Hi.
Hey, it's nice to speak with you. Quite an honor as well, because you're quite a voice out there in the Patriot community from someone from the Beltway. And it's always interesting to read your article.
There's a few of us. Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. It's so interesting to hear your perspective on things because, we see the Washington Times or something like that, but you get the real inside about what's really going on. And I want to give a shout out to that lady who was on the phone with you, Deborah. I hope she does well. And if I was living in Maryland, I think I would vote for her. She called your show. She must be
right. Absolutely. We need to get more people like Deborah and in the Congress. But it takes a lot of money, and that's what And then they start selling out when they start meeting the people who are the fundraisers, the professional fundraisers, and this is where you're going to have to compromise here and there. And then you have you have people representing special interests and not the people who elected them to office.
Oh, absolutely. The political process in this country. Our founding fathers, I think they saw the direction the country would eventually descend into because, as Ben Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it.
This
wasn't intended to be a democracy, a mobocracy, or whatever. It was intended to be a nation governed by people who were capable of governing themselves.
Right. And as we know, Franklin also said, if we don't stand united, we'll all hang separately. And
that's right.
We all.
Oh God, he had so many things in that. The almanac. But anyway, now as far as Cheney, my God.
Oh.
Man, you know, when he opens his mouth, he might as well be firing buckshot out. You know,
he holds everyone around. You know, you got to at least Spiro Agnew, when he resigned after being caught with his hand in several cookie jars, we never heard Agnew. The next time anyone ever saw Agnew was at Nixon's funeral, and I mean, at least he had the common decency just to go play golf and not. And what is it with Cheney? I mean, how many times did we hear Walter Mondale running around, giving speeches? Yeah, right. How about Dan Quayle? Dan Quayle, we don't hear much from Dan Quayle.
Man.
He's making a lot of money.
I forgot all
what
about
is
him.
It right.
I'm thinking, I don't know if this is, I just want your opinion on this, but the situation, and by the way, it was a great report you put out about the H1N1.
Oh, thank you.
A couple of days ago. I'm just thinking now, a lot of these politicians, especially after they did the TARP thing last year, are pretty confident that either the machines are so rigged or they feel like there may not be an election again. They just do what they want to. They don't really care.
Well, you got to figure there's something going on with the machines. How many races have we had that have been so close? We've got a governor's race here in Virginia this year, but one of the Democrats who I'm endorsing, by the way, I'm endorsing Craig Deeds for governor here in Virginia. Craig Deeds was running for attorney general in the last election. Craig Deeds lost that election, the Democrat. Craig Deeds lost to the Republican for attorney general. That guy is now running as the Republican gubernatorial candidate, but Craig Deeds lost by a couple of hundred votes. You look at all these close elections, and you still don't have the Minnesota Senate election. That's still tied up in court. We know what happened in 2000 in our presidential election, but you look at all these close races, and statistically, the rule of probability to have these many close elections, you got to just figure something
unfortunately,
is radically wrong.
Unfortunately, the American people have become, a herd. As Jeff Rich famously said just not too long ago, as a matter of fact, you can get people's attention and they will look up and blink at you and look back down and chew their cud.
We are like a bunch of cows out here.
Everything just, on the television now, I just kind of pass through and check on CNN something like that.
Right. Well, David, thanks for calling the program, and have a good Memorial Day, and listen again next week. I'm sure we'll have much more to talk about with Dick Cheney and his ongoing feud, and the angry old man, Dick Cheney. But thanks for calling in. Okay, let's go to Ruth Ann, who's calling in from Chicago. Ruth Ann, are you? Hi, Ruth. Hi, Ruth Ann. How are you?
Good, good. I'm so glad about your court event.
Well, me too. Now the trouble is to get it all out of all the hundreds and hundreds of databases that has been, and that may never happen. And it's another process here in Virginia to actually petition to have the record removed, it's just another process. It's really ridiculous. Anyone who gets tied up in this awful judicial process, I'm very empathetic to them.
That's true. I was calling about Cheney. I'm wondering if he wants everything released because he's done arm twisting down at the archives and has gotten the testimony to suit his need.
Oh, he may in fact have done that. The other thing, I think Dick Cheney would like to get the attention off of some other issues. For example, one that I've been looking at, the Nigerian government is now prosecuting some of their ex-leaders for receiving bribes from Halliburton beginning in 1995. Well, guess who became the CEO and president of Halliburton in 1995? One Dick Cheney. And he held that job up until he became vice president. So I think Cheney, not only on the international war investigations, but the corruption trials now taking place in Nigeria, he would like to change the subject, obviously.
That, and he's trying to keep a high profile so that anybody that comes out against him in any way gets national television or national coverage as well as national scorn.
Oh, right, right. I think he's doing well, and that's exactly out of the Karl Rove playbook, by the way. That's how Karl Rove always operated. You know, you just, you're so outrageous, and, you know, he's got Fox News and CNN on his side. And the other ones, the other lickspittle networks, and he can just snap his fingers and get airtime, even if he's following a speech of the President of the United States. He's trying to turn this into, you know, Dick Cheney is not the leader of the opposition, but that's what he's trying to become. He's trying to become the official leader of the opposition in this country to Obama, and the media is allowing him to do it.
Well,
if you can hold on, we'll come back right after this short break. This is Wayne Madsen coming to you live from Washington, D.C.
This is RVN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup, and we have Ruth Ann from Chicago on the phone. Ruth Ann, are you still with us there?
Yes, yes, okay. Wayne, I am.
You had a thought before we had the break. Yeah. Yeah.
But I also think he's trying to monopolize the stage so that your story and others about him running an assassination squad out of the White House doesn't get any major play.
Oh no, and it's something being suppressed. We have to look at all these new units that were created, hybrid CIA Pentagon units, special operations groups, and that's got to be the focus. But Cheney would like to keep the attention off of that. But anyway, Ruth Ann, thanks for calling
in. Thank you very much, and I love your site.
Oh, thank you, and have a good Memorial Day. And now let's go to Kathy from Louisiana. Kathy, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we're also going to be like the backyard barbecue here on Memorial Day. We're going to bring in Dave from California, so we don't lose anyone before the end of the show. Can we, Dave, are you with us? Hello,
hi,
Dave.
Wayne, how you doing?
Oh, hi. Hi, we have Kathy and Dave with us. Anyway, Kathy, what did you want to talk about first?
Well, I just wanted to ask you if you had seen the latest cover of People magazine with Bristol Palin in her cap and gown and holding her baby, which is believed to be not her baby. Have you seen that
cover?
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's a very touching picture of Bristol Palin with her young brother. You know, that's another thing that was totally suppressed. This family in Alaska, I mean... It is unbelievable. I mean, they make the Beverly Hillbillies look like the Rothschilds. I mean, it's unbelievable that. But anyway, I haven't seen it, but there's she may be the candidate in 2012. Dave, what did you want to talk about?
Well, in keeping with Memorial Day, I spoke to one of the gentlemen from the USS Liberty this morning on the Liberty Hour. On this show.
Yes.
Yeah, and we were discussing the fact that during the time that all of this was taking place, the aircraft carriers, which were preparing to launch to assist the Liberty guys and got called back, were also preparing to launch at least two jets that were armed with nukes at Cairo. And basically, I mean, they were just off the shore. They could have dusted Cairo real fast. And so the question I asked was, gee, I wonder who it was that was, you know, behind all that. I mean, we've got Johnson and McNamara as the firewall between Dick Cheney, George Herbert Walker Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, and Henry Kissinger. Gee, what a surprise. The continuity of government, people.
There's a
the same people, absolutely. The Liberty it looks like it was set out to be a false flag operation.
And sure
our friends, our friends in AIPAC and Israel say, oh, no, that's a conspiracy theory. Israel would never do that. But I think Kathy probably has a little insight, too, on that type of operation, especially when it involves, the Liberty, which was an NSA signals intelligence ship that was also picking up intel on Israeli war crimes in Sinai, one of which was led by then-General Ariel Sharon. You probably heard about that stuff, huh, Kathy, over the years. Oh, anyway, we are out of time. We'll have to get to the Liberty next week, but thanks for calling in, and to all our callers, and everyone have a good Memorial Day, and I will go back to listening to the drones of the Harley-Davidsons here in the nation's capital, another sleepless night. Anyway, we'll be back with you this time next week with Wayne Madsen Report to Say Roundup.